And the second thing, parenthetical remark, that I wish to make is that the words spiritual and contemplation and contemplative prayer are widely used today in various circles, Christian, New Age, others. And they have generally accepted meanings. But in the Orthodox tradition, in the hesychast, monastic, ascetic tradition, these words have very precise and specific meanings that are not the same as what they mean in the world. So if you read about contemplative prayer in outside of an Orthodox source, bear that in mind. There's a distinct quality of difference. One of the differences is that contemplative prayer, and this we will probably get into in our third talk, if you still will have me, is a stage beyond prayer. It is what prayer leads to. And when the Orthodox tradition uses the word spiritual, when Saint Theophan or Isaac or Maximus or Dionysius or Mark the Monk use the word spiritual, in every case, they don't mean something general. They mean of the Holy Spirit, and only of the Holy Spirit. So if you read in one of these fathers the phrase spiritual prayer, it means that prayer which is given you of the Holy Spirit. If you read of a spiritual man, that man is a man who is imbued with the Holy Spirit. Every time the word spiritual, pneumatikos, is used, it means of the Holy Spirit. And contemplation is always a state beyond prayer. It is discovered in prayer, through prayer, and prayer may go on before it and after it, but it is something that is beyond prayer. And it is not a personality trait, which is often the case when you looked at you. Are you an active person or are you a contemplative person? That division doesn't exist in Orthodoxy. We are active and we are meant to be contemplative. All right. Now, I am going to have to skip, but I will. I want to touch on why it is. I want to get back to the question of Evagrius, finally, which is, what state, what mental state does the mind, the soul, have to be in order to converse without intermediary with one's Lord? And this brings us back also to the last seven steps of the ladder of divine ascent, and in particular, the last three. Step 28, prayer. Step 29, dispassion. Step 30, love, charity. And that means that the real key to the art of prayer is growing toward dispassion, apatheia. How to acquire dispassion? It is the heart of the matter. St. John of the Ladder places dispassion in between prayer and love, and he was very conscious of so doing. That is the place. That is where we need to be. So, here, what is needed is something that the Orthodox tradition, the hesychast tradition, calls attention or watchfulness. It is interesting that the three methods of attention and prayer, Those two words are put together because in Greek they sound almost, in Greek they sound almost alike. Prosefki, prosoki. So the idea of prayer is related to attention. That without attention, there is no real prayer. And this is the work of prayer. The true art of prayer is how to keep the attention active in you. What is Saint Mark the Monk? I quoted to you that first idea of the remembrance of God. His suffering of heart endured with a spirit of devotion. He ends that same verse with this phrase. But he who forgets God is self-indulgent and insensitive. And self-indulgence and insensitivity are all throughout the ladder of divine ascent. In fact, there's a whole step on stony insensibility. He who forgets God is self-indulgent and insensitive. It is not saying he who is self-indulgent and insensitive forgets God. It's not that way at all. He's not saying if you're self-indulgent, you forget God. Well, of course you do. He's saying in the other way, that he who forgets God is self-indulgent, becomes that way, and becomes insensitive. Insensitive to what? To every spiritual quality that exists. That's why St. Mark also talks about the three giants, ignorance, forgetfulness, and laziness. The three giants that stand in the way of our spiritual life. Ignorance, forgetfulness, and laziness. And forgetfulness being forgetfulness of God. That we go through the day, how much of the day, how many hours of the day do we go through? Do we, even though doing good things, but we are not aware that we are living in God, that in Him we live and move and have our being. We're not aware of that. Now that's what forgetfulness is. And prayer is the breaking through of the presence of God in our life, wherever it happens to be, whether it's in church, whether it's in our cell, whether it's driving a car, whether it's in the face of a situation. That breaking through into an awareness of, my God, I'm alive and God is present, is the heart of it. So, I will talk briefly about watchfulness. And I'm going to quote the first verse, the first chapter of St. Hesychios the Presbyter. It's in volume 1 of the Philokalia. And it's on watchfulness. It's on what it is and why it is the key to prayer. He says, watchfulness is a spiritual method which, if sedulously practiced over a long period, completely frees us with God's help from impassioned thoughts, impassioned words, and evil actions. It leads as far as possible to a sure knowledge of the inapprehensible God and helps us to penetrate the divine and hidden mysteries. It enables us to fulfill every divine commandment in the Old and New Testaments and bestows upon us every blessing of the age to come. It is, in the true sense, purity of heart, a state blessed by Christ when he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," and one which, because of its spiritual nobility and beauty, or rather, because of our negligence, is now extremely rare among monks. Because this is its nature, watchfulness is to be bought only at a great price. But once established in us, it guides us to a true and holy way of life. It teaches us how to activate the three aspects of our soul correctly and how to keep a firm guard over the senses. It promotes the daily growth of the four principal virtues and is the basis of our contemplation. Now there is, I hesitate to start on this. I will not start on this. This will have to be the next talk. But really, now we are at rolling up our sleeves and going to work with what's going to lead us to the prayer of the heart and to actually unceasing prayer of the heart. Unceasing prayer of the heart is based on unceasing dispassion or unceasing watchfulness. And There are. Let me a little preamble. There are five steps that Ezekiel deals with in dealing with this whole thing of watchfulness and how to pray the prayer. The first one, the first characteristic is humility. Without humility, nothing is possible. Humility is key. The second is attention, prosoki, attention. The third is rebuttal. We'll talk about that, what rebuttal actually is. Which is tied in with attention. How to practice attention so that you become aware before they hit you of the things that destroy prayer, or the things that take you away from prayer, or the things that distract you. And the fourth, of course, is invocation. And that invocation is the prayer itself. And last is remembrance, the remembrance of death. It's the remembrance of death that leads to the remembrance of God. So that this practice of attention, of watchfulness, is keyed to the prayer of the heart, to the prayer of Jesus, but it's based upon learning how to keep attention alive in us, in our heart, so that we can see what comes into the mind while it's coming in, and that so that we can either reject it or let it pass, and so that we can sustain our prayer. So the art really is how to sustain interior prayer. And with that, I think we will stop. Do we have any time for questions?
No.
We can.
We almost always start late and okay. Go late, so this is well within our tradition.
All right.
Here.
Okay.
So, if you have, yeah, we have some time for people.
Yeah. Yes. St. Seraphim of Sarov said this as well. He made a very clear point. He said that you have to go within. What makes one aware is attention. Why attention is so allied to prayer. If you pray, if we start a prayer, well, Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, Heart Everywhere, Present, fill us all things. You have said four or five mind-blowing, literally, you know, powerful images that can totally change your life if you actually experience one of them. See what I mean? So attention is that. But it also is, most of us live outwardly. I mean, everything in this world is designed to draw us out of ourselves, not to bring us in to ourselves, but to draw us out of ourselves. Most of what we call entertainment, most of what we call legitimate entertainment, is nothing more or less than distraction, than that which actually distracts us from what we should be aware of. So, habitually, we allow the course of thought, the course of feelings, everything that flows through us like a river, we allow our attention to go with whatever it is, whatever is strong in us at the moment. You know what I mean? So you can actually kind of see this, you can image it. So we get up for the icons to pray, and we say, "Oh Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we don't even get the word out. And our thought, our mind has drifted, has gone with something. And it can go, and it can go, and it can go for 15, 20 minutes. And then we go, "Oh yeah, I'm supposed to be praying." You know, and so back we go. But the thing is, you always go back. A great teacher once told me, I think, a very profound principle. He said, the principle of spiritual life is zigging and zagging. He said, you're always going to zig. The zig, you don't worry about the zig. It's the zag that counts. It's the zag that counts. It's not the zig. The zig is going to, I mean, if so in a way, prayer is like that. The beginning to really pray with attention is like actually saying, okay, I'm really going to do this. But immediately, if we are not used to it, if we are not in the habit of doing battle, then anything, I mean, it's not always the demons. A lot of times it's memories, just simple memories you have. I mean, how many memories can rob you of prayer? Because it takes you away. So the zag, the point is, if you drift, bring yourself back. If you drift, bring yourself back. If you drift, bring yourself back. And don't get despondent. The heart of that is not to be despondent. Not to say, oh, you know. Not to throw up your hands. I mean, one of our battles, one of our real battles in spiritual life, and truly in the monastic life, is despondency, is that sense of, you know, can I ever do it? So, but that's a temptation, and that's a sin. And prayer, as St. John said, heals despondency, if you go at it. So, attention is actually trying to be aware of the feelings and thoughts you actually have in prayer, because they don't just suddenly stop. And then you have to keep your, and this is where keeping the attention in the heart is. I mean, Saint Theophan doesn't actually tell you how to do it. He just says attention, the mind, attention is allied to the mind, and but we can master our attention, we can control it with our will. So we put our mind in our heart. And then there are methods to do that, which we're not going into too late. But putting your mind in your heart, or placing it at the door of the heart, as Saint Hesychio says, placing it at the door allows you to see what's going on in your mind. It's literally getting out of your head. It's not that things stop. Things are still going to go through the head. But if you are not in the head at the time, if you are not just one of those many thoughts, you can actually begin to see them. You can see where they are, and you can see them coming. Evagrius talks many places about how to tell what kind of demon. He said you can just tell what kind it's going to be by the image that pops into your head. If the image that pops in your head is the face of somebody that has made you angry, it's probably the demon of anger using that image to distract you. So the heart of it is how to get out of distractions, how to become attentive toward God. And that means you have to be aware of what's going on within you. Fred, go ahead.
It seems like our prayer is subject to habits and ruts, just like the rest of our life. And when we see that our prayer has been crippled for lack of attention or too much of a sense of literalness, where do we restart so that we break out of the habit that deflects that ability to have altitude? Is there a place in the attitude where we can restart the journey into the altitude?
Well, I'll tell you what began to work, what I have found effective to battle this thing, is that, you know, we talk of what is certain in life. What we know is certain in life, death, we know death is certain, we know judgment is certain, and we know heaven and hell are certain. Eternity is certain. Because we live in it. And in our hearts we know those things. There is one other thing that is certain that we aren't fully aware of. And that is the present moment. We actually have the present moment. So you ask yourself, as I've asked myself, if not now, when? If not where? If not here, where? And if not me, who else?